Right, we're looking at Tanya. We're in the middle of chapter 12. And let's have a look. The pagination at the bottom of the page, it is page 49 and 50. Page 49 and 50. Fine, all right. Page 49 and 50, and we've just... You have that? No, the next page, right. Right, you've got it.
Okay.
Right, and we're just at the second line at the top. Ki hamoyach. Ki hamoyach, right at the second line at the top. Okay. Right, so... One second. Yes, the third word in on the second line.
Third word on the second line.
See that?
Yes, please.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
sorry, just the third word in.
See,
look, green. Yeah.
There.
Not
the same
book.
It's fine English somewhere.
Yeah, earlier on.
I'm looking at here.
Yeah, tea. Yeah, okay, sorry. Key, right. Now, the point is, here we have a very important principle. Ki hamayach shalit al alev, the mind rules the heart, b'sol dosoi v'tivoi, by its nature. Vateva besoldosa by its birth, vateva yitzirotso, and by nature, from the way that God created us, the mind has the power to rule the heart, which is a very, very challenging idea, that we are actually able to be master of our own emotions and feelings. That's a very, very interesting idea. And that means that we can really govern our lives. Now, that is a challenge, because a lot of people think that they are run by their heart. Their heart runs after something, and that drags the person with it, and they don't think that they have control over that. But Tanya is telling us we do have control. And this has to do with the whole balance of forces within the person, and this is a very, very sort of positive.
Isn't there a saying that don't let your head rule your heart or something? I'm sure there's a saying like that, isn't there?
Well, don't let your heart rule your head.
That's it.
People say in English, don't let your heart rule your head, and in other words, people do very stupid things because. The point is that if a person wants something irrational, then the heart will start telling the head what it should think, instead of the heart being controlled by the head. You see? And that's the... So we have to have a good focus which way we're trying to go, and then we can switch on in the right way. Shekach noitza Adam, because this is how a person was created, besoldosoi, by our birth. In other words, by the whole way in which Hashem created us. Shekol Adam, that every person, yochol, is able, biratzoinoi, with his will, or her will, shebamoichoi, in one's mind, lehisapik, to control oneself. We're able to have control. To rule over the power of desire in one's heart, not to fulfill the desire of the heart. At that point, the desire of one's heart is something which, for whatever reason, is inappropriate. It's Yom Kippur, and the heart feels, it's prompting one, oh, I'm so hungry, oh, I'm so thirsty. And we're able, it's a very interesting thing, we're able to just switch our thinking to something else, and we're able to move on. We're not caught that we're completely trapped by our heart the whole time. We're able to move on to something else, and this is the maisa, dibur, or machshava, whether it's in action, or in speech, or in thought. See, thought is the most subtle thing. So a person might, he might have control over himself, he's not going to actually eat something, but he'll think about food.
He's always on a day that you can't eat.
Right. Or one can control that as well. He's not going to think about food. There are better things. On Yom Kippur, there are better things to think about. And so with action, speech, and thought, shaloi lemalos, olasir daito legamre, to move away one's thought completely, mitaybis liboy, moving it away from the desire of the heart, elaheifach legamre, to something completely opposite, completely different. Ubifrat, and especially, el tzadah kedusha, especially to the realm of holiness. You see, the things that the desire of the heart is usually concerned with is not in itself something holy. It's usually something which is earthly, material. It's money, or it's food, or it's something like that. It's something which is material in one form or the other. And here, what Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the Alter Rebbe, the author of Tanya, is telling us is that it's very easy that we can move our mind away onto something which is holy. Now, the fact that he tells us that it's very easy to do this, and that it's built in, it's a structure that is built into us, that that's how Hashem created us, that's very encouraging and helps us achieve it. It's by the fact that we know that it's something which is within our reach that helps us actually achieve it. Kedirsiv, as it says, v'ra'itzi sheyesh yisrin l'chochma min ha'sichlos, I saw that there is something more special, a greater advantage to wisdom over folly. Like light has an advantage over darkness. So that is a quote from Mishle, Ecclesiastes, from Koheles. And that is a... So what does this mean? Pirush, this means kamosha or yeshlo yisodon ushlita. Just as light has got a power, or memshala, it's got control, ala choyshech, over darkness, shema'at or gashmi doicha harbim min ha-choyshech, that a little bit of light, in physical terms, pushes away a lot of darkness. You've got a dark room, and then you have a little candle or a match. You light a match, so it's only a little bit of light, but that light pushes away the darkness. Suddenly, the whole room is a little bit light. There's a little bit glowing everywhere, and wherever you are in the room, you're able to see that match, which is shenitche mimenu me'elov mimela, that the darkness is pushed away automatically. So in the same way is pushed away automatically sichlus harbe, a lot of folly, a lot of stupidity, shel haklipa v'sitra achra, of the negative realm, the realm of the shell, the realm of the other side, the non-holy side, shebechala lasmoli, which is in the left hand part of the heart. Because the only reason why a person desires something which is not appropriate, and especially, God forbid, something forbidden, is from a spirit of folly inside oneself. If it's a spirit of sanity, of wholesomeness, we only want appropriate things. But it's when there's a spirit of folly, as he puts in brackets here, K'maymer Azal, as the sages say, the only reason why a person might sin is because a spirit of folly enters into them. It's when there's a spirit of folly, that's what makes us do a foolish, a stupid thing, and that foolish, stupid thing could be, God forbid, a bad thing, could be a forbidden thing. But it's folly, it's stupidity. It's something which is wrong on every level. So this spirit of folly, which is inside us, is pushed away by a little bit of the brightness of wisdom. Because before the wisdom of the divine soul has a quality of beautiful wisdom, of a spiritual perception, and that spiritual perception pushes away the negativity of the folly, which wants us, is dragging us into an inappropriate desire of one kind or another. And so this wisdom of the Nefesh HaElokis, of the divine soul, now where is it? First of all, it's Shebamoyach, it's in the mind. Because that is where the divine soul, that's its natural abode, so to speak, is in the mind. It's something cerebral. We feed it with studying Torah, with thinking about positive thoughts, thinking positive things relating to Hashem, to the world, to the Torah. And so thinking about this in a spiritual way, all this strengthens the divine soul, and the wisdom of the divine soul helps us control the unruly aspects of our hearts. Because the desire of the divine soul is to have total control in the city of the person, and to be enclosed in its three garments. The three garments are thought, speech, and action, which we mentioned above, and that should be in the whole person. The whole person should be inspired by the ideas which come from the divine soul, and that should inspire our actions and our speech and even our thoughts. Right? So that means getting right into that most private aspect of the person, which other people don't notice. You see, the actions that we do, very often other people see them, and so we have a kind of a public persona, yes, the way in which we are seen by other people. But then there is our speech, and then our thought, and our thought is something more inward, and maybe other, and as far as we're concerned, other people don't see that, but nonetheless, that too is a realm that we should keep wholesome and healthy and tidy, illuminated by the wisdom of the divine soul. And what Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the Alter Rebbe, is telling us is that we're able to do that. We can do that. We're able, if we want to take control of our minds, we're able to do that. Yeah. Which is a wonderful promise. So, Kaniskel Eilis, we said above, Shehei Machshava Dibro Maisa, what are the three garments of the divine soul? They are Machshava, thought, Dibro, speech, or Maisa, action, of Tariyak Mitzvah HaTayda, of the 613 Mitzvahs of the Torah, Kaniskel Eilis, we mentioned above. And these mitzvahs, there are particular specific aspects of the mitzvah, and then there's all kinds of general aspects which grow out of each mitzvah. So in other words, the whole day a person could be suffused with a positive spiritual thought in their mind, and positive speech and positive actions. And that is the way the person is able to be from the moment they wake up in the morning. Okay, so that's one challenge. What is one's first thought waking up in the morning?
You wash your hands first.
Actually, you say Moida Ani first.
That's right.
I thank you, God, for giving back my soul. And we say that even before washing our hands. So that's the most immediate moment of connection with God, right at the beginning of waking up.
Before you say it when you wash your hands.
Well, the interesting thing about the when you say that?
When you wash your hands, that's the dayim.
The tilos you die. Yeah. Now that's the next step. You see, Moda Ani is a very interesting prayer, because it doesn't have the name of God in it. And because of that, we are able to say it before we wash our hands. And it is a connection that we have with God right the first moment that we wake up, even before washing the hands. So the hands are impure when we wake up. But even so, the Moda Ani remains pure. That little prayer that we are able to say right at the beginning, I thank thee, God, that's right. Moda Ani Lefanecha, I thank you, Hashem. But we don't say Hashem's name. I thank you, Melech Chai V'Kayim, the King who lives and exists, Shehechazato Binishmosi, that you gave me back my soul, Rabbe Emunosecha, great is your faithfulness, you reliably gave me back my soul this morning. Thank you, God. But we don't say God's name, but it's a thank you to God. Now that is something that we say as soon as we wake up. And then follows washing the hands and saying blessings and everything else that happens in the day. And then the last thought before we go to sleep at night.
We say it at night. No.
Well, we say the Shema before. We say the Shema before we go to sleep. Yeah. So there you can have a person that the entire day they're thinking good things and they're saying good things and they're doing good things. And that's the whole cycle of life of a person. Now, this is the chapter which is talking about the Beinoni. And the Beinoni is someone in whom the animal soul, which could be the evil desire, has not been cancelled out. It's just under Satan. Control. Well,
Satan.
Well, I wouldn't call it Satan exactly, because it's actually a force which can be transformed into good.
Mm.
Like everything. In Jewish thought, every single thing in our life and in existence, in some way, can be transformed into good.
There you might can't ask Hashem to move that. I ask Hashem to move Satan away from me. I do. Because I recognize something in me and I must not get involved with that.
All right. Okay.
But that's all right, though, isn't it, to do
all
that?
All right. Yes. Okay. So.
Is a Beinoni, is that an intermediate?
That's what it means. The word in Beinoni means intermediate. In fact, the person who's.
Go either way? Is that
right? Well, the point about the Beinoni is that they're really on a very high level because they have total control. But they have control of forces which are, could be, negative, very,
there.
Very negative forces, and they're still
they're
there.
Still there.
That's right. In a tzaddik, the negative force is being got rid of. It's either totally suppressed, so that it's inactive, or it's acting positively in a positive way. But in a Beinoni, the force is there, possibly in a very powerful negative way, but the Beinoni just controls it, and controls it to such an extent he doesn't even think about the thing that this negative force wants to think about.
Wow.
So he's able to control that. That's the
very strong.
But does the Beinoni feel that if he's able to control it, that he's a really righteous person? Because he feels he's in control, but really, underneath it all, if you scratch the surface, he's not.
Well, that's exactly the thing that it's saying here.
Mm.
He knows that he's on a knife edge. Or he should know. That's what Rabbi Shmuel Zalman is teaching him.
Yes.
He's actually on a knife edge, because a minute ago he controlled it, and now he's controlling it. Well, what about the next second? He's got to keep on controlling.
Control what?
Well,
if
there is a negative,
got some basic instincts that need to be
Well, you see, for each person, it's a different thing, or maybe, you know, one person has a passion for this, and another one has a passion for that, and there are ways in which each person has a bit of a struggle in life, holding back whatever it is that they're being dragged towards, and they say no, no.
Yeah,
like
we've
you
got
say
different things.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's all
like somebody smoking, and after he say no, it's
that's
not
right.
Smoke.
So there's someone trying to give up smoking. You
can't kill me.
Okay.
Yeah, I wish I
could. All right. So there are different desires which are in a person.
Yeah.
Which drag the person in a negative and dangerous way, dangerous for him or her, and dangerous to other people. And he controls it, tries to control it. Now, the Beinoni is always successful at controlling it. That's the difference between the Beinoni and other people. The Beinoni has some extra level of sincerity, which means that they always do control it. And
you need strength, more than sincerity, strength.
Well, it's interesting what kind of strength we need in order to be totally in control. And I would use the word sincerity, which means that the person is through and through. You know, in other words, if I want something, then that's what I'm going to do. Whereas many of us, we want something, you know, something spiritual. We want to control smoking. The person says, I don't want to have another cigarette.
Very difficult.
So you come back an hour later, they're smoking a cigarette. What happened? I thought you didn't want another cigarette. Well, just this one.
self-control, yeah, really, isn't
so
it?
So that's right. Well, it's self-control, but the way you get... The interesting question is, how do you get to self-control? Is it an iron will?
I think
there are people who have an iron will.
But a lot of it is that. I mean, a lot of
but how do you get to an iron will? And I would suggest it's sincerity.
Yeah.
There's a phrase, there's a concept in Hebrew called tamimus, wholeness, purity, and seriousness. In Yiddish, ernstkeit, being serious. Mm. It's that seriousness, that sincerity, that makes the person real. That when they say something to themselves, I'm not going to smoke again, they actually are able to do that. It's they have that power of decision and to be able to follow that decision. That's right. It is willpower.
Yeah. I mean, some people say yes, they're going to give up smoke, and they do. They just give it up. They never smoke another cigarette again. Other people say, well, as you say, just one, but they don't give it up. Just one. They're always cutting down, but cutting down. And other, I know people that have just given it up. They said, no, I'm fine. I said, I've no more cigarettes. They threw the
and I know
out.
One woman, I see it with my eyes. She's in ambulance, take care with asthma, and she's in danger, and she says to them, please, let me take one cigarette.
Basically, some people are, I think, probably stronger than other people, and they've got more willpower.
Well,
and they'll give
if we say, some people are stronger than others, then we are really not following what this author wants us to do. It's like saying that some people can run faster than others, that's the end of it.
Mm.
No, he wants to train all of us that we should all be able to do this. You know, so to say that the other person's got a strong will and I haven't, that's a cop-out.
Mm.
It has to be that what he's teaching us to take control of our own inner lives is something that we can actually achieve. And Tanya wants to wake us up to this so that we're able to do it a little bit more. And a little bit more, and a little bit more, and that is one task in life all the time, and it may be a continuous struggle. You see, this aspect of the struggle of the Beinoni, of the intermediate person, that's the struggle which applies to every single one of us. There is a higher level of a person's animal soul and evil desire being completely transformed so that they're on a completely different level. That's not within our power to achieve just like that. But to say that I'm going to control myself instead of giving in to the desire to do something negative, that's something we can all do at any moment. You see, so this is our power to achieve. Okay, so there we have to understand. So even though, so we're on the words of Afal Pichem, which is 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 lines up from the bottom. The Afal Pichem in the middle of the line. The Afal Pichem, and even so, even though this person is in total control of themselves, Eino Nikra Tzadik Klal, he or she is not called a tzadik. Because this extra power, this advantage which there is to the radiance of the divine soul over the darkness and folly of the klipa, of the shell, of the negative impure force which is being pushed away by this radiance of the divine soul, is only in the three garments of the divine soul, in the thought, speech and action, but not over the very essence. The person is in control of his thoughts, even his thoughts, and of course his speech and his action, but he hasn't controlled the very essence of the animal soul, on the essence of the clipper of the negative realm. Because the essence of the animal soul, Shemaha clipper, which is from the shell, from the aspect which conceals God, and is in the left hand part of the heart, that part of the person, the animal soul, loy nidche klal mimakoy moy bebeinani, has not been pushed away at all from its place in the case of the beinani. In the case of the tzaddik, it's transformed, or it's quelled, it's totally neutralized, or it's transformed. And transformed into good. But in the beinani, it is there just as strongly. Acha hatfilah, after the prayer. Now you see, in the earlier in this chapter, it was talking about the way that when the person davens to Hashem, when a person prays to Hashem, we can actually get so inspired that the animal soul becomes like just completely neutralized. It gets swept away in the inspiration that the person has. And at that moment, even if a person is not yet able to say the prayers in Hebrew, but they're saying them in English, and they say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." They're saying it with all their heart, speaking to God, and they can feel the closeness to God. And they're giving themselves to God. Just one second. They're giving themselves to Hashem in the most tremendous way. And Hashem is giving himself to you, to each one of us. That's so inspiring that at that moment the animal soul doesn't have a word to say, and it's not going to pop a negative thought into one's mind at that moment. The problem is, what happens after the davening, 25 minutes later, when we're at work and doing normal things? What happens then? Where is the animal soul? And very often, usually, the animal soul comes back. and that is the challenge of how to deal with it. Yes.
What do you mean, Rabbi, is that you say pride, you ask Hashem, you are doing Tehillim, you are doing Shmona Esrei, what?
Well, the Shema, say the Shema, create Shema and the Shmona Esrei. That is the way you are connecting with Hashem. When you say Tehillim, you're also connecting with Hashem.
We are talking with Hashem also.
That's right.
In everything.
Absolutely.
I just want to say, Dr. Hunter, I mean, this is all well, but I mean, everyone is like a different nature. You know, some people are more strong-willed than other people. Some people are weaker than other people. Some people find it very easy to give up. They never smoke another cigarette. Other people, they keep trying. I know what you're trying to say, but everyone is different, and some people I find are more strong-willed than other people. They'd love to give it up, but they just somehow can't seem to.
What we have to do, what we have to do, is be very resolute with ourselves, and talk ourselves into giving it up. And sometimes one needs to confide in another person.
Yeah.
And that is part of the whole Hasidic system as well, that one confides in another person called a mashpia, a teacher, who helps a person. It's like a coach.
Also, a doctor helps. Mm. Yeah. He say like this: if you not finish to smoke, you will die.
It's like I'm really addicted to smoking.
Yeah, we're not only talking about smoking.
It's like alcoholics.
We're not only talking about smoking. There's Alcoholics Anonymous. There's Chabad. There's the Chabad drugs line, which helps one deal with any kind of substance abuse, right? There are all kinds of problems.
Yeah.
Look, there are clinical.
What is too much is not good.
Yeah,
well, there are listen. There are clinical problems. There are clinical problems which are so problematic that one actually needs medical help of one kind or another. And there are other problems in life, which it doesn't come to that level of being a clinical problem, but it's still something that the person may have difficulty in mastering.
Yeah, this is
and so that is where sometimes confiding in another person and discussing the whole issue, whatever it is, that one is able to discuss this openly and look at it for what it is, and maybe to go back a little bit and see how it began in one's life, and little by little how one is trying to deal with it, and how, you know, one might recognize how one isn't managing to deal with it, and how problematic that is for one's life. And then you make a little step forward sometimes, helped by another person. There is this idea that we can help each other, that people can help each other, and that's part of the whole idea of what
we must zwingen, zwingen.
Well, that's very good. We have to force ourselves,
and we
have to take control. But sometimes a person needs what's called a coach, like in sports, where a person is trying to run very fast or do something else, and they have a teacher who is helping them do whatever it is they're trying to do. And, and that is part of our lives, that we are able to connect with each other and help each other in that thing. People can help people. That's exactly it. Right.
If you talk through with somebody a problem or something, sometimes they can give you a different way of looking at it, a different idea.
Yes,
of how
that's exactly
it.
Right. Now, so we're talking about the Beinoni after the prayer. When the flames of fire of love of Hashem are not revealed in his heart, in the right hand part of one's heart. You see, in prayer there is a possibility for the prayer to be, that means saying the Shema, the Psukah de Zimra, which comes before the Shema, leading up, Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecho Oid Yaleluchos. Yes, you can get so excited saying that, and there it's like flames of warm, beautiful fire in your heart, loving Hashem. So there's this love of Hashem in your heart. But after the prayer, see, the Amida is more still. It's like you're soaring. Yes, you're on
yes,
a different level.
Very nice teacher, very nice.
So it's the Amida is different. You climb up and up and up and into a very, very beautiful state,
but
and
you
then you're
flying
then,
to Hashem.
Yes, yes. you're like
cloud.
Well, you're like with Hashem.
It's
the most one. But then after that you come down. Right, you come down back into the world and it's ordinary life and the phone rings and this has to be done and that has to be done.
Back down to earth.
Right, back down to earth. Now what happens to the love? It doesn't disappear completely. It sort of nestles inside the heart. And that's what it says, four lines up from the bottom, the middle of the line. Ki im toichoi rotzuv ava musuteres. The inside of the heart is lined with a hidden love. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. The inside of the heart is lined with a hidden love. Shehi ava hativis, which is the natural love. Shebenef shelakis, which is in the divine soul. The divine soul has a natural flavor of love of God.
Wow.
And it's there naturally. And that is there. If we don't do anything to work on it, to excite it, it's still there. But we can do something to arouse the love. We can learn something. We can think about Hashem. We start davening. We start saying the words of the prayer. We put our hearts into the prayer. We feel the way in which we're communicating with God through the davening, through the prayer.
You come to a shiur, Torah.
Well, whenever a person learns Torah, you see the radiance of the Torah also is strengthening our divine soul and arousing the divine soul. So, but at the time that one is in a normal frame of mind, then it's just the hidden love, which is the Ava Tivish Benefshe Dekis, the natural love of the divine soul, Kamosha Kosov Lakom, and as we explain further on, Va'azai, and then Yochol Liyois, it might be Sichlus Hachsil Hara V'Hiskalas Liboy, the folly of the bad fool. He uses the strong words. You see, the Yetzer Hara, the evil desire, is called Melech Zoken Uchsil, an old foolish king. And it sounds really horrible. And that is the evil desire inside us trying to drag us into something negative, whatever it is, you know. So an 18 year old there's one problem, and at 80 years old there's another, and at 120 there's another.
There's always problems, whatever.
There's always another problem.
So
this Melech Zoken Uchsil, so here he calls him the folly of the bad fool. So that folly is there. The Hiskalas Liboy. It's there, revealed in the person's heart, b'chalal asmali, in the left hand part of the heart, the hisabat taiva, desiring something inappropriate, wrong. L'chol inyonei gashmius olam hazeh, all any aspects of the physicality of this world, turning over the page, bein beheter, whether it's something permitted, bein beisur chas v'shalom, or something forbidden. You see, there can be something permitted, but who says your mind has to be totally absorbed in that thing? There might be something better to have one's mind absorbed in. You know, let's say it's coming to summer, so a person wants to buy a new summer outfit, something around. So one can think about that for 5 minutes, for 15 minutes, for 5 hours, or day and night. That's right. And you saw it in the shop window, and you walked by, and then you
ice cream, a good ice cream, a cake.
So there is no limit, even a permitted thing. It's permitted. There's nothing wrong. It's fine. Good. It's a very suitable thing to buy. So you go and buy it. It's wonderful. With the help of Hashem, you're able to do that. But how much are we going to sink ourselves into it? Once there was in the town of Lubavitch, in the time of the fifth Lubavitch Rebbe, Rav Shalom Dover, there was a person who had a factory making galoshes. Galoshes are rubber overshoes, right? And I suppose in Russia in those days they were more necessary than that. The streets were often not paved. And Lubavitch, the little town of Lubavitch in Belarus, it's mostly mud.
It's Ukraine, yeah?
No, Belarus.
Belarus.
Yeah. It's and most of the streets are earth. And when it rains, it's mud. So to have rubber overshoes is a very important thing. I'm not sure if they were still in Lubavitch when this story took place. They might have moved to Rostov or somewhere else. Anyway, so there was a man who had a factory making galoshes.
Wow.
And the Rebbe looked at him and he said, you know, galoshes, the feet go in galoshes, not the head. Because he was running this factory, so the whole time he's thinking, you know, I need another worker for the factory, and I have to do this and I have to do that. So the whole time his head is revolving in and out of the galoshes. And what the Rebbe is telling him is, use your head to pray to God, to learn Torah. There are good things to use your head for. And feet go in galoshes. You know, so there's a certain amount of time that you have to spend in organizing your factory, but don't...
Too much.
That's right. Yeah. You have to have limits to that.
Don't harp on it.
Don't harp on it. That's right. Now, so that is in the permitted realm. Now, also, there might be, God forbid, that the person starts thinking about things which are forbidden in one way or the other. Ke'ilu loy hispalel klal, as if the person hadn't prayed at all. So when he was praying, there wouldn't have been all this negativity at all. Certainly not the forbidden things, and even the permitted things. He's not interested in galoshes at this moment. He is interested in the spirituality of prayer and saying another word and learning something. That's what he's in at this moment. But then, after the prayer, after studying, he's come down so he can be more involved in these different desires, and he might even desire something forbidden, God forbid. Eila shebedvar iso, but when it's something which is actually forbidden, eina oile bedato la'asoisa iso b'pol mamash chas v'shalom, he doesn't actually think of doing it, actually doing it, God forbid. Eila hihure aveda hakashim ma'aveda, but it's thoughts of something bad, which in certain ways are the Chachomim, the sages tell us in the Talmud, can be even worse than doing it.
Yes.
I mean, they're not really worse than doing it, but it seems worse because the person, if he did it, he would know it's wrong, and he would regret it, and he would decide he's never going to do it again. But just thinking about it, he thinks, I didn't harm anyone, I'm just thinking about it. And so he can think and think goes on and on.
No.
And that is the struggle of the person. Okay, ladies, I hope we'll be continuing with
Can you explain this, though? I have a sad to say to you. I used to smoke between 40 and 50 cigarettes per day. I smoke so many cigarettes that I'd light one and put it there, light another and put it there, forget. And one night I decided, tomorrow I'm not going to smoke. And I never smoked again.
Wonderful.
And I've been smoking for 30 years.
Excellent.
And I never had a scrap of desire.
Wonderful.
And I couldn't live without a cigarette. The first thing I wanted in the morning was a cigarette. But it just disappeared.
Well, you're a person with a very positive will.
I didn't have any willpower. The feeling went as if it was a shame helping.
Well, maybe that's all right. So maybe you did something good on another dimension, which helped.
I've got no desire.
Well, that's a wonderful thing.
All I lived for was a cigarette. That's a cup of tea. I've been eating. Going out.